Good morning, Harvest Church. Are you full of sugar? I heard through the grapevine some little boy had three donuts, and his last name was Hoskinson. He's going to be wired. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and the privilege to come in your presence with thanksgiving. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Jesus, we love you, we honor you. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you this day in Jesus' name.
your freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. Everyone, you cannot survive when we praise you. Good God, I'm Christians on our side. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Together. And he is worthy. He is worthy.
Come on, every voice.
Oh, he is worthy. He is worthy. I can't hold back your praise. 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 Come on, sing that out. I can't hold back your praise. I can't hold back your praise.
Sing that together.
He is worthy. Oh, he is worthy. He is worthy. Break down walls. You make giants fall. And fear cannot survive when we lift you high. For you are worthy of it all.
Sing that again.
You break down walls. You make giants fall.
fear cannot survive. We lift you high. You are worthy of it all. Sing, you are worthy. And you are worthy. You are worthy. For all of my days, I will sing your praise. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. For all of my days, I will sing your praise. You are worthy of it all. The God of breakthrough is on my side. God of breakthroughs on my side. So let praise arise. Forever lift him high. He is worthy of it all. The God of breakthroughs on my side. The God of breakthroughs on my side. The God of breakthroughs on my side. So let praise arise. Forever lift him high. He is worthy of it all. But you are worthy. Oh, you are worthy. For all of my days, I will sing your praise. You are worthy of it all. For all of my days, I will sing your praise. You are worthy of it all.
Day in history. On a cross they made for sinners. For every curse is blood atoned. My final breath and deal is finished. But not the end we could have known. The earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared? Lord of heaven and earth, oh, hail King. flash of light was breaking through. No one was lost, he crossed eternity. The King of Life was on the move. In a dark, cold tomb, where my hope was dead.
Lord, you reign in
your glory, King Jesus. Sing worthy. You are worthy.
Lord Jesus, we declare that you are worthy of all glory, all honor, and praise in this place today. I want everyone to lift your hands. You know, the Bible tells us to do that. What is this? It's a universal sign of surrender. And so this morning we surrender spirit, soul, and body to you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, continue to teach us, enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Show us the Father's ways. Teach us in His paths. Lead us in His truth. And teach us this morning. We thank you. We love you. And all God's people said, He reigns forever and ever. Amen. We'll greet someone on the way down. You may be seated. You know, I'm glad that you're in church today. But I want you to know your Heavenly Father is thrilled that you're here today. Amen? This morning we get to start our service with something through the years that I've always enjoyed and counted a privilege. And it's a responsibility to dedicate children to God. Amen? Now, some of you come from different backgrounds. If you're Lutheran or if you're Methodist, we all have, you know, different traditions. But I like to go by the Bible. I think that's our source, don't you? And so before we have the coders come, and little Abigail, she's alert today. Let me tell you what we believe here at Harvest Church. Amen? The dedication of a child is an acknowledgement by parents that their child's a gift from God. Say, my child is a gift from God. Parents are stewards. Say that with me. Parents are stewards of God's inheritance entrusted to their care. Who was taken to the temple to be dedicated? Jesus. Remember Samuel, the story of Samuel? Consecrated and dedicated to God after their birth. The dedication service, now listen, is not meant to impart salvation to the child. And that's so important because a lot of churches, they'll baptize a baby. You know, salvation comes at the age of accountability. And so that's the Bible. Now, what dedication does, there's four things. Listen carefully. Number one, dedication should invoke by prayer and the spoken word of faith the promises of God for parents and their children. So what we do when we dedicate a baby is we speak the what? The word of God. Number two, these prayers and proclamations include promises for protection, blessing, and favor for the years ahead. Number three, these prayers and proclamations mark our children with the seal of the Holy Ghost. Our children are marked. Amen. And that's why a dedication service is so important, because how many of you know kids can get squirrely? How many of you were squirrely through the years as a teenager? You know, I was raised Methodist. I wasn't dedicated, but you know, when you're dedicated, those words that you declare and decree over the child go on and watch over that child. God watches over His word to perform it. So God is watching over His word and God is watching over your children. Amen. Number four, dedicating a child or a baby, the parents commit to a life of prayer and godly instruction for that child. So when you dedicate a child to God, you as a parent, you have a responsibility to, to train that child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And you know, a lot of people, they, through the years, they just drop their children off at Sunday school. Let the teachers instruct. And there's nothing wrong with it. That's important. But mom and dad need to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to have little Abigail come. And you're not going to cry. Let me look at this little beautiful. Hi there. How are you? You'll come see me? Oh. Oh, yes. Should we hurry now? What you looking at? He's ugly, isn't he? Look at that guy right there. Oh, now you're back here. Okay. Okay, there we go. I want you, in fact, why don't you stand up and extend your hands? Father, we thank you for your word this morning that says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed, and wealth and riches will be in his house. So, Father, we dedicate Abigail to you, spirit, soul, and body. And we declare and decree, at an early age, she shall accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Born again, filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in tongues. Living her life for your glory. And so we take our authority this morning in Jesus' name. And we bind the enemy and we say, you have no place in her life. For she is God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which you prepared in advance for Abigail to do. We say she's blessed spiritually, physically, emotionally, and financially. And no weapon formed against her shall prosper. And Lord God, we thank you. She shall prosper, be in health, even as her soul prospers every day of her life in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, because she has the name Abigail. She will bring joy to family, to her friends, her relatives, and all those around her all the days of her life. And so we mark her today with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God. She shall fulfill her destiny in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Mom and Dad, you will fulfill your spiritual destiny in the name of Jesus. And God will bless you. And you'll experience the blessings of God all the days of your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Say, Abigail, you're dedicated. You'll serve God all of your days in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, what a wonderful baby. Yeah. Well, give him a hand this morning. And you're blessed, and you're blessed. Amen. You're happy today. That's what sugar does. You may be seated. What a way to start your life.
Announcements. This Wednesday will be the final night of our 6-week Bible study. I want to thank everybody that has hosted, participated, led, and taken part in that. We thank you, and eaten. And so we will be doing this again in the future, but we tried to limit it to 6 weeks at a time so we don't burn everybody out and that we can come back together again. So we just really appreciate it, and we are sure that you were blessed. Amen. So that this Wednesday night is the final night of that. The next Wednesday, a week from this Wednesday, we will not have midweek service. We think we have been so busy, and you need a little time and take a deep breath, and then we will resume our regular midweek services the week after that. At this last Bible study, we asked the leaders to hand these out. And if you didn't get these and you're interested, I have some here. What it is on Mother's Day, the Norfolk Area Right to Life puts a one-page ad in the newspaper with people's names that support Right to Life. And they also, if you haven't noticed, on East Omaha Avenue here, they put up a huge, really nice billboard. So if you would like to have your names included in that, the more we can get, the more people see how we're standing up for life. You need to get this, fill out the release, and they're asking for $10 to $15 if they could to help pay for these expenses. But the thing is, we got to have them in. And I know because of Easter and the Bible studies, we're kind of running late on this, but I need to have these today, preferably, or at least by Wednesday. So if you're interested in that, you can get that to me following the service. Let's see. The other two other things I have is on Tuesday, May 14th, is the Nebraska primary election. Now, Mike talked during the dedication, he stole two of my words, but he talked about stewardship and responsibility. I believe that it is the responsibility of all Christians to vote, because we have been allowed the privilege. And if we don't do something, then the evil does. And so that's our responsibility. Now, the thing is, you have to be registered to vote. And so you can register. There's two primary ways. You can go online to the Nebraska Secretary of State's page, and you can register online. Or you can go to your county election commission and register in person. I think on stuff like this, the more you can do in person, the better you all, better off we all are. But so you would go probably to the county clerk's office, and if they aren't doing it, they'll tell you where. And you have to register. Now, if you're registering online, you have to be registered by no later than, let me look here, no later than April 26th. That's Friday, the April 26th. If you're going to register in person, you have to be registered by, you have an extra week, by May 3rd. So if you've moved, if you've never registered, whatever, please register to vote. I think it's very important. It becomes more important every year. The last thing of announcements is tomorrow's the eclipse. Don't get stupid. If you go out to look at it, wear proper eyewear. And don't just enjoy. I mean, it's interesting. It's fascinating. And it's well worth going out and taking a look at. But wear proper eyewear. Just don't be stupid. Okay. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. I'm going to read you a scripture. He talked about stewardship, about responsibility. And I want to make this statement. It is our responsibility as believers, as Christians, to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Whether it's our children, whether it's our right to vote, whether it's our personal life, whether it's our finances, God has entrusted us to be good stewards of that, and it's our responsibility. So I'm going to read, you don't even need to open there, in Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to start with verse 25. This is Jesus speaking. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, so many people read this scripture, and where it says not to worry, they take that to extreme, and it means they think it means they don't have to do anything. And that's not what it's saying at all. It's saying We're saying we have responsibility. God has placed us here to be stewards. But I was reading about this week, and it talked about what he's really trying to get across to people is that God's a good steward. And God will take his responsibility and do what he needs to do for you if you do your responsibility and do what you need for God. So when you get to understand your Heavenly Father, recognize his characteristics and traits. He's a God of order. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of personal responsibility and stewardship. And he will do that for you and me. Don't worry about it. If after you have done all that you know to do, then entrust it to God. So as you bring your tithes and offerings, you can't come all by yourself and just pay for every bill that we have need of. But if you do your part, God does the rest. And God will do what he says for you. If you give, he'll make sure that it's given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. We just need to learn to follow after God, do our part, and then trust him to do his. Ushers, you can go ahead and receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
What happened back east this week? Earthquake. Wow. That's different. We're living in the last days, folks. Amen. Draw near to Jesus. Amen. We're on a subject and have been. We kind of unhooked because of Easter. In fact, I forgot what we were on. Could you help me? Authority of the believer. Amen. And so we're going to continue this morning, and we'll go a ways, and then we'll continue next week, because this is one of the most important subjects a believer needs to know. Not only know, but walk in. We all need to walk in our authority in Christ Jesus. Amen. We said spiritual authority is the true possession of every believer, whether he or she knows about it or not. In this hour, God's delegated authority must be exercised and enforced in order to disrupt Satan's kingdom and advance God's kingdom. Now, years ago, and this is embarrassing, but it's whatever. I put on probably over 170,000 miles on a vehicle and sold it, traded it in, sold it. And then when I did, I discovered there was a feature on that truck that I didn't even know about. So I'd driven that whole truck for all those miles and all those years and didn't know it had that feature. I felt stupid. Amen? Now, some of you are mechanically inclined. I'm not. But it's the same way with the things of God. That authority, if you're a born-again child of God, you have authority. We're going to be talking about the name of Jesus. There's authority and power in the name of Jesus. But you can live your whole life as a Christian and never understand the authority that God has given you. And God expects you and I to walk in. Amen? So authority is so important. Look at Mark chapter 16. Now, you get a handout, an outline, don't you? Well, sit it down, because I probably won't follow it. I'll do my best. But it's there for you, and the scripture references are there that you can look them up in the days ahead. In Mark chapter 16, this is the Great Commission. And it says in verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've already established you and I don't need to go to Africa with Jeff Rogers. Thank God. But we can go outside our door and down our neighborhood, or to work, or to school. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. How many of you believe? In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. See, that is our Great Commission. We have a mandate. If Jesus said go, we should go. How should we go? In fear and trepidation? No, we should go out with boldness, knowing who we are in Christ and knowing and understanding our authority. We said that word authority is this. It's a lawful right to act. It's a lawful right to act. It's the right to use the dunamis or mighty power of God. God is behind this authority. Say that. God is behind this authority. If God says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, should we? Yes, because those whom God calls and sends, he equips. You and I have an anointing within, and we have an anointing upon. Amen. Then we said our position in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In fact, as you turn, let's look at Ephesians 1 first, chapter 1. In verse 18, this is a wonderful prayer that Paul wrote here in Ephesians. In verse 18, he says this, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believes according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places far above all principality, power, might, and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Is the name of Jesus higher than the name of Satan? And he's put all things under his what? Feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So where's all this under? The feet. What's the feet hooked to? Who's the head? Jesus. Who's the body? Who's the feet? We're the feet. Say, I'm the feet. So where's the devil? He should be under your feet. But see, sad to say, a lot of Christians don't even know that. They're not taught who they are in Christ and their authority in Christ. Then we touched on God's sovereignty. Sovereignty is this. It means this, to be above or superior to all others, chief, greatest, and supreme. Supreme in power, rank, or authority. And basically we said this, if you don't understand the sovereignty of God and how powerful he is and the authority that he has, you're going to have a hard time walking in your authority. But if you know God's a big God and he's on your side and he's delegated that authority to you, you can be confident. I can be bold and confident. Amen. Now, I'm going to go on. And I want to talk about, in fact, I was tickled when Kathy got up here because I thought she was going to preach my message. I had no idea what she was going to say. We're going to talk about stewardship today. We'll get into that. But we're going to talk about God's plan and purpose for man. God has a plan and a purpose for everyone. Amen. But man was created in the image and the likeness of God. Man was created in the image and likeness of God. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to see this. Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 26. Then it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. What do you think God looks like? Casper the ghost? God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Now look it, and have what? Have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Wow, think about that. You and I have authority. We have a dominion in the earth. Now, when did that get disrupted and removed? Who was the cause of that? Don't just blame the woman. Adam and Eve. Yeah, the woman was part of it, but Adam was just kind of not doing much. He should have been watching out, and he wasn't. And so, as a result, Adam, they died spiritually, and they lost that authority that they had originally. But who came along and restored that? Jesus did. Amen. So, we're created in the image and the likeness of God. And this refers to the characteristics such as the ability to relate, to hear, to see, and to speak. James 3:8 says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse man who've been made in the likeness of God. So next time you cuss someone out in that fast food line, remember they're made in the likeness of God. 1 Corinthians 11:7, referring to head coverings and the Jews and what they did and their traditions. It says, for a man ought not to wear anything on his head in church, for he is the image and reflected glory of God. He's the image and reflected glory of God. The Message Bible says, and I love this, a beautiful shining reflection of God. A beautiful shining, what? Reflection of God. Say, I am a beautiful shining reflection of God. Amen. Many Jewish rabbis actually teach that when God made man and stood him up, the angels looked and couldn't tell which one was man and which one was God. Interesting. When you think about Lucifer and his rebellion, what was some of the reason why he rebelled? I'll tell you. He was jealous. They were jealous of God's creation of mankind. And so he wants to do everything he can to destroy man. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I want to read to you. In fact, this is out of the book that you're using. I realize this is, I've heard a lot of different comments about the book. It's kind of scholarly. It's a little deeper. But you know, it doesn't hurt to stretch yourself. I get a monthly magazine called Prophecy Watchers. And most of these men that write the articles in there are scholars. They understand the Bible. They're born again, spirit-filled men and women of God. They're not necessarily word of faith. They believe in the word of faith. But it has to be in the Bible, which it should be. But they prove everything out in Scripture. But the thing is, their vocabulary is just... In fact, I read and I listen to it because it improves my vocabulary. But this is what what he said, Jack Hayford. He says, when the Bible talks about man being made like God, it uses two words, image and likeness. Genesis 1:26 states, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. The word that is translated image is the same word that would be used for shade. Perhaps a clearer derivation of that word for us would be silhouette. If a strong light was shown directly at you and projected onto a flat surface, then the outline could be traced and a silhouette or likeness produced. This likeness would be a representation of you, but it wouldn't be exactly as you are. There would still only be one of you. A number of people might even fit that silhouette, but there would still only be the one person, you, who cast the original likeness. The picture that the biblical word creates shows that man bears a strong resemblance to God. Amen. In fact, if you study angels, you'll find out we can, you know, be careful because you can entertain angels unawares. Angels look like humans, or we should say we look like angels. There's some differences, but you know, when angels were on the planet Earth and throughout the scripture, people would meet them and sometimes they would recognize it because they're distinct, probably their hair color or their eyes or their coloring, I don't know, but they're very similar to us. And we're very similar to them. So, you know, I like that word shade or silhouette. Would you put this photo up for me? That guy in the middle is Kathy's dad. That's Ralph Schmidt. Those are his two brothers. See, that's Bits on his right and Wood. How old was he there? Look at that car. Probably 1930s. The reason I did that, when we first saw that picture, because she does scrapbooking and she's got pictures all over our basement. Just unbelievable. She said, who's that guy with the on this side, on my right, holding the pop bottle? Who's that look like? Who? Micah. Look at Micah. Everyone just look. Stand up, Micah. Stand. Give me a profile like this. Isn't that remarkable? And that's his grandfather's brother. Now, you know, Micah looks like him. Not exactly. But isn't there a great resemblance there with the nose and the eyes? Even the red cheeks. Amen. Thank you. You can take that down. So man was created in the image and likeness of God. Now, man was given dominion on earth. Dominion. Genesis 1:26, we already read, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You and I have authority over creeps. How many of you know some creeps? What's that, Brian? You and I have authority over creeps. We have dominion. But we need to understand that, and then we need to exercise that. Look at Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Man was given dominion over the earth. They lost that dominion, but through Jesus Christ, we've regained that authority and that dominion. In Psalm 8, verse 3, it says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you should visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the what? You know what we could say? We could say, You have made him a little lower than God. That's Elohim. I can remember when Mike Keyes preached this. We were made a little lower than God. Think about that. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have what? Dominion over the works of your hands. And you've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So you've made him a little lower than the angels or Elohim, God or gods or supernatural beings, it also means. Dominion is defined as rule or power to rule, sovereign authority or stewardship of the earth. Now we're getting into stewardship. Ephesians 1:22 in the Amplified says, and he's put all things under his feet and appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church. A headship exercised throughout the church. So we have an authority. He is the ultimate sovereign authority, but we have authority through Jesus Christ. And Deuteronomy 28 verse 13 says, and the Lord will make you the head and not, how many of you want to be the head? How many of you want to be the, anybody? What's he talking about? Well, read the scripture. And the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So he's the head, we're the body. He's the sovereign authority of everything. But he's delegated to us that authority. I want to read to you from one of my devotionals. And he quotes the scripture, he says in Exodus 7 verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. This is one of the most astounding statements in the Bible. The first time I ever saw this, I had to pick my jaw off the floor. I thought I'd misread the scripture. I read it again, and I began to see the significance of this wonderful verse. God had a plan for Moses to deliver the Israelites. Once Moses was informed, he starts making excuses as why he can't get the job done. Sound familiar? At the end of Exodus 6, Moses explains that he's not a good speaker. Yet God responds with this tremendous statement in Exodus 7:1, I have made you as God to Pharaoh. In other words, Moses had God's ability to get the job done because he was God's representative. Moses could do the job just as well as if it was God doing it himself on the earth. Notice the phrase, as God. Moses wasn't God. We're not God. Although on the earth, God had equipped Moses with his ability to totally fulfill the call on his life. Moses had been given authority and power over Pharaoh, and God expected him to use it. Now listen real carefully. He says, let's think about this. If God gave Moses, an unsaved man living under the old covenant, this type of authority and power on the earth, how much more has he given the child of God? Don't let that go over your head. If Moses could function with that kind of authority on the earth under the old covenant, wasn't even born again. What should we be operating in? The question is, what is the Pharaoh in your life? Is it poverty, sickness, depression, or addictions? Whatever it is that is trying to hold you in bondage, you have been made as God to it. I'm going to read that again. The question is, what is the Pharaoh in your life? Poverty, sickness, depression, addiction, whatever it is that is trying to hold you in bondage, you have been made as God to it. God has given you the ability to whip Pharaoh's tail. You are a master on this earth. To put it bluntly, you are a God on this earth, and you were made to work the miraculous. Say, I was made to work the miraculous. Look at the life of Moses. It was a life full of the miraculous. He parted the Red Sea and even caused water to come out of a rock twice. What about the believer? It's time to realize who we truly are. We've been made as God to the pharaohs of this world. It's time to let the signs and wonders and miracles loose. We're very good as human beings to complain about the government, about the school board, about the city council. But how many believers are rising up and taking their authority in the name of Jesus, binding and loosing? We have a responsibility. The city, the state, and this nation is in the condition it is because believers through the decades have not exercised their authority. You have a business? Can you use your authority? You know, I use my authority in the name of Jesus. This is how I pray. Every week on a Monday morning, when it comes to the finances of the church, I learned this years ago from when I was at school with Dr. Hagen. It doesn't have to be difficult. This is how I pray. This is how I exert my authority as a pastor over a church. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have no authority financially over this church. In fact, you are bound in the name of Jesus. You will cease and desist and against your maneuvers and attacks against the finances of this people. I claim and I believe $5,000 for the offering in Jesus' name. You're bound. You'll not steal it. Angels, you're loose. Now, go! Bring in that $5,000 in Jesus' name. And I thank you that my covenant-keeping God shall supply all of Harvest Church's need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Then I forget about it. Oh, God, the next day, oh, God, we need to do this. We need this money. We need this money. Pray it once. That's faith. And from then on, thank you, Father, for that $5,000. You can do that if you have a mortgage. If you have a bill, use your authority in the name. Father, you said, my God will supply all of my need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Satan, you're bound in the name of Jesus. You'll not steal or hinder the finances from coming for this specific bill in Jesus' name. Now put your angels to work. Angels, go now and bring in that X amount of dollars. That's using your authority in Jesus Christ. But how many Christians... You know, pastors get up on a Sunday morning or mail their request for finances to me, which they have done. And I just can't believe it. Or they'll get up on a Sunday and hold up their wallet or beat the drum. We need money. That's not the Bible way. We're to use our authority in Christ Jesus. If you don't like where you're at financially, then do something. Know who you are. Know that your God, El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough, will meet every need that you have. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Amen? You can apply those principles to all areas of your life. Now, I sat there yesterday and had all this message, and I looked there and I just took half of it and put it off to the side. That's my weakness. You get up here behind the pulpit and you want to give them everything. You can't do that. Let's talk about stewardship and then I'll unhook just a few minutes. Dominion. What is dominion? Ruling and reigning, exerting your authority that you have in Jesus Christ. Dominion requires responsible stewardship. Say that. Dominion requires responsible stewardship. Steward defined as the rule or administration of a house. Responsible for keeping law and order in the house. I like that. You and I are responsible for keeping law and order on planet Earth. You and I are responsible for keeping authority, law and order in our homes. In our businesses, in our schools, in our city governments, in our state government, in our nation. The steward was accountable only to the owner who alone made the final decisions. See, she already said it today, God's a good steward. And he's made us what? stewards. So we should operate like God. Our stewardship is His stewardship. Amen? Look at Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8. I'll give you an example of this. And it rings true today. Before I read Esther 8, let me read to you, and I'll just read it to you. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Is there any groaning going on right now? Huh? Are you groaning? This is what I had to deal with yesterday. Did you take my water? You were coughing, weren't you? I was about to have you be dismissed. She got home from getting groceries the other day. She said, her voice gets higher when she's, excited. Do you know what a dozen donuts cost at Hy-Vee? And I thought, what? With donuts, money's no object. With me, if they're good. They were $18 plus a dozen. And I got a newsflash for you. Hy-Vee's donuts suck, most of them. You don't see them here, do you? Nothing but the best for the people of Harvest Church. And they're even cheaper, I think. But when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked man rules, the people groan. There's a lot of groaning going on right now. I'll show you what will happen, though. Esther 8. How many remember the story of Esther where she saved the Jews? Who was her cousin? Mordecai. Was it a good ending? Oh, yes. I love this. This is it. Verse 15 of chapter 8. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, blue and white, and a great crown of gold, and a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. And the Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. Isn't that good? The Jews had what? Light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had what? Joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Now listen, then many of the people of the land became what? Because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Now, there's a lot in that scripture. But see, when you're in authority, when the righteous man or woman is in authority, exercising dominion, exercising godly stewardship, things are going to run well. And I got a news flash for you. There will be again in this nation joy and gladness. A feast and a holiday. And I'm going to tell you something else. When I read this, many of the people of the land became Jews. I'm going to say many of the people of the land became Christians because the fear of godly believers fell upon them. We're going to see that in the days ahead. Why? Because the righteous will rule and reign again in authority. Doesn't mean we're not going to have battles. We're not going to have to work through some things. But it's going to happen. And I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Let's stand up. I'll quit. That's a good way. That's a good place to stop. All I'm going to ask you is this. Are you a good steward of what God has given you? You need to be a good steward of your spiritual life. We need to be good stewards of what God has given us, our homes, our vehicles, our property. We need to be good stewards of our children. Take care of them. But I want you to know today that as a Christian, as a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you have an obligation. You and I have a responsibility to be good stewards of that authority that we have. And use that authority wisely. Not arrogantly. Not, in a weird way in front of the world, but if you see something that you don't like, how many of you can go through a day and see something you don't like? Then take your authority in the name. If you're at work with somebody, and there's always somebody at work that's the horses. How many of you work with? Oh, lighten up. What'd you say? She said, I do. I just can't win. But you know what I'm talking about. If there's strife in your workplace, do something about it. Don't run to the boss and complain. I bind that spirit of strife and division over this place of business in Jesus' name. You have no place. I say the employees' hearts are hungry for God. I say the employees' hearts are open and receptive to the wisdom of God. I say the employees of my business have the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. See, if you don't like what you're experiencing, don't run to your pastor. Run to the Bible and use the keys that he's given you, the name of Jesus, to bind and to loose. Amen. Father, tonight, today we thank you. Oh, we're so grateful for what Jesus did for us on the cross. He has the keys of death and hell and the grave. And he's delegated to us authority. I pray today for the people of Harvest Church in this new week, in the name of Jesus, when they come against opposition, when they have a problem or a circumstance, that, Lord, they'll refrain from complaining. And they'll quietly take their authority in the name of Jesus and bind the enemy and then loose God in the situation. They'll speak to the mountain and not complain to the mountain. Because the people of Harvest Church are doers of the word and not hearers only. And I declare they'll go out with joy, be led forth with peace, and signs and wonders will follow them this week. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Their words will be full of grace-filled words that will encourage and uplift others and not tear down. And so, Father, we thank you for that delegated authority that we've received through Jesus Christ. And we purpose that we'll walk in it this week wherever we go in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, I tell you, those are the kind of messages that will kind of make your chest go back a little bit.